Jim Frederick, I have on the line. Jim is the owner of, or co-owner, I should say, of the Tunnel Tavern in Port Townsend, where El Serape used to be a Mexican restaurant, and it is now a Mexican restaurant that is open later. Is that correct?
Yeah, roughly.
That's the short and skinny of it?
Yeah.
It's maybe a little more than that.
We are a Northwest-themed dive bar with Mexican food, open till 2 a.m. normally.
That sounds pretty good. And it's no longer called El Serape. It's called The Tunnel, right?
Yeah, Tunnel Tavern, yes. I'm doing a bad job of spelling it here.
T-U-N-N.
Well, Tunnel Tavern.
That sounds right. Well, Jim Frederick, what an interesting time to own a bar.
Yeah. Wonderful time.
Maybe before we get into that, you could tell us a little bit about, what the inception of the bar was. It's not every day we get a new bar in Port Townsend, and us drunks definitely appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, how did the tunnel come to be? Maybe you can give us the short and skinny on that.
Yeah, so 3 years ago, my father passed away somewhat unexpectedly from cirrhosis of the liver, actually. And his dying wish was, "Jim, we got to open up that bar." And I was like, "Okay, I'll give it a shot, Dad."
So
the circumstances for opening a bar are a little bit interesting, but
let me just clarify. So dying of cirrhosis, and he says, "Let's open a bar."
Absolutely.
And I'm gonna guess that this might be pretty standard for your father if this was the kind of thing he was gonna say.
Yeah, it absolutely is. It was that man lived 69 years, and I think he squeezed 169 years of fun out of it. He had life by the horns, and he just knew how to make the most fun out of any given situation. He was an avid runner of the bulls. When we were stationed I grew up stationed in Germany.
So he was a veteran?
Yes. Army veteran. I forget how many years he was actually in the service, but quite a while. And, he was in Germany for, 25, 30 years we were stationed over there. And every summer, for San Fermín down in Pamplona, Spain, he would, drive down, run the bulls for 7 days in a row. Which is really just a big drinking holiday down there in Spain.
How old were you when he was taking you for running with the bull? I've seen the running of the bulls. I've never actually seen it in person, but I would never do that. Even as a,
I think 17 or 18 the first time. 17 probably the first time he took me.
Oh, Jamie,
and my little brother was 13.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
So everyone survived, I hope?
Everyone survived. I did see my dad get his leg broken in half by a bull. My brother got his foot stepped on pretty good. I never got hurt at all. And it's certainly not because I was the fastest. I was just really good at diving out of the way.
Wow. And to this day, is that still the case?
Yeah. We haven't done it in a few years, but me and my brother, when the world gets back to normal, plan on going back to Pamplona and spreading his ashes in the bull ring.
Do you think that they'll have the running of the bulls again in a post-COVID world? I was just thinking of that. Like, that doesn't seem like something. Maybe we'll do it again, but wow.
I think so. I think it'll absolutely happen again. I mean, they've been doing that for something like 400 years, and it's only been stopped a handful of times.
Can you imagine a socially distant running of the bulls?
No,
everyone's like 6 feet apart.
That will not work.
And that bull is definitely not observing social distancing rules.
No, certainly not.
Well,
but yeah, that's one of the many things about my dad, just this huge aura of fun. And even in his last dying moments, he was like, "You got to open up a bar." And so we did.
So that was the plan. You didn't know that you would be opening a bar until he said on his deathbed, like, "Here, go open a bar, son, basically.
We'd been talking about it for years. I just never really thought it would happen. But he was talking about moving back to Seattle and doing it there. But yeah, we were going to do it in Seattle, but Port Townsend is just such an amazing, beautiful spot, and still about, you know, about 2/3 cheaper than Seattle, believe it or not. So we came out here and chose to do it here.
And your selection process there was just sort of by driving around, or had you had previous experience with Port Townsend?
So my wife, Karen, grew up coming here to Port Townsend. She's from Tacoma, but her grandparents would drive her up here every summer, and they would go to Nifty 50 and Elevated Ice Cream and all this and that. And as far as the actual location for picking the bar, we checked out quite a few spots, as you know. And the history of this building is just, it's really cool. And it used to be the Chinese Immigration and Detention Center. And it was a bunch of things in its inception. And obviously the Tunnel Tavern name comes from the history of Shanghai tunnels that run underneath Water Street. So that's how we got that name.
Got it. Yeah, and I was thinking more like Port Townsend. I mean, what called to you about Port Townsend? And that I think a lot of people have those like early childhood memory of tourism, you know, being like, I grew up in Seattle too, and I always remember going to Port Angeles and going to that tower right by the Red Lion, you know, in the bay of Port Angeles. Yeah. I always remember that. And so when I was thinking about moving out to the peninsula like 10 plus years ago, I was talking to my dad and I was like, I'm going to move to Port Angeles. And he's like, why don't you think about moving to Port Townsend instead? Like, but I just had this such a positive memory, and no hate on PA either. I have a ton of friends who've moved there now. And I mean, it's a lot cheaper to live in PA than PT, and there are more jobs. So that's kind of there. Oh, maybe I shouldn't be selling PA too hard on a PT radio station, but you know, yeah. When if you have to close the bar here, go open it in PA.
Well, I'll tell you, for 10 years or so, I worked at the Redwood Bar on Capitol Hill, and the owners of the Redwood Bar now own the Spruce in Port Angeles, and that's a wonderful little spot you guys should go check out sometime.
Oh, cool. And for our listeners just tuning in, we're talking to Jim Frederick, owner of the Tunnel Tavern, Port Townsend, downtown bar that just reopened. And we want to talk about that soon. I guess we also want to so you are the owner, or you're co-owner with your wife?
Yeah, me and my wife and our friend Cindy, she owns a percentage of it as well.
Got it. And now, your plan for creating it, I mean, you must have done some research in the town and kind of gotten a sense of what bars were like out here. You know, what kind of demographic were you hoping to appeal to when you opened the bar?
Yeah. So in our research of checking out all the bars in Port Townsend, we noticed a lot of young people, but not really any particular bar that kind of catered to the younger demographic that doesn't necessarily want to spend $18 on a cocktail and maybe even stay out till 2 a.m., you know? And there's just, there wasn't really anything like that for those people. And I thought there might just be a need for it. And I think I was kind of proven right there for a while.
For a while. That's, yeah. Isn't that the operative? And we're talking to Jim Frederick from the Tunnel Tavern about owning a tavern in COVID times. And Jim, you said that you and Elsie heard that song. Is Elsie is that your daughter?
Yes, that is my eldest daughter. I have an 8-year-old and an almost 2-year-old.
An almost 2-year-old and an 8-year-old. That is quite a divergent age range to be dealing with.
Yes.
Well, do you want to give Elsie a shout out right now? Is she listening?
She is. Well, I assume she better be. Hey, honey. Hope you're having a good day wherever you are.
Elsie, yeah, really good song choice. I really like it. I actually saw Perfume Genius like in 2012 or something, but I didn't know what I was seeing really. It was in Denmark, was at the Roskilde Festival, and he was like otherworldly watching. I had never heard his music before, and I wasn't sure if I liked the music, but I was completely captivated, and it had nothing to do with any substance abuse issues either. I think I was pretty sober. He was amazing. And I looked him up, and he's from Seattle.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Seattle is occasionally known for cool things like Perfume Genius and Chaz.
Chaz.
Yeah. And Chaz. Chaz. He's a good guy, Chaz. Or they're a good guy. They're a good guy.
Yeah.
We love you, Chaz. We might talk to Chaz later today. So right now, though, we're talking to Jim Frederick about owning a bar and suddenly being faced with a pandemic in a small town. When did you first realize that things were not going to go the way you thought they would this year?
Well, you know, I think I was probably kind of like everyone else. Every year, whether it's SARS or bird flu or the whatever, Ebola, every year there's something. And they're, you know, it's like, oh, this is going to be the one. It's going to kill a bunch of people. The world's going to end. And that's exactly what I thought when I first heard of the, they were calling it the Wuhan virus at first. And I just completely wrote it off until I heard that they'd canceled the NBA season. And then I knew this was a big deal. For some reason, that was the part that was like, oh my God, world is going to come to a stop. And within about 3 or 4 days, our bar shut down on March 16th, right after I'd ordered about $3,000 worth of Guinness for St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, wow.
So we got a special on Guinness down at the tavern, just so you guys know.
were a lot of people still coming in towards the end, or was it starting to trickle off? Did you notice like a severe drop in business?
Absolutely. Right after Valentine's Day, which, you know, it's our first winter being open. I was expecting it to be slow, but a lot of locals are telling me, no, this is abnormally slow. You should have more than four people on a Thursday day, you know. There just was no one was coming out. They were all gearing up for it, I guess. And it hit hard. And it's not by any means over virus-wise or economic-wise, because we're open now, but only at 50% capacity, yet still expected to pay 100% rent and utilities, which to me is the big elephant in the room that our politicians didn't think about, or at least don't want to talk about.
That was rent.
It's almost better to be shut completely down than to be made to open at 50% capacity.
Right. So what's 50% capacity of the tunnel?
Yeah. So for us, it's 50% is 42 people.
Okay.
Which on a Monday or a Tuesday or Wednesday, fantastic to have that amount in there. But the margin of the profit margins in this business are razor thin. And if you can't pack the house Friday and every Saturday night, you're done. You're not going to make it. And we're trying to fight with one hand tied behind our back right now, essentially.
Yeah. So you reopened for the first time yesterday, right?
Correct. Yeah.
And would you say that you were getting enough folks to be able to sustain yourself?
Yeah. I mean, the day was fairly slow, but then right when I was getting ready to leave, a ton of people came in and hung out for a while, and I haven't seen the numbers yet, but if we can do that every night, possibly we'll make it. It's just, it's tough right now.
Right.
But one thing I'll say is I'd rather be here than back on Capitol Hill, because this town, it just cares so much, and the people have been so kind and wonderful and generous, crazy generous tipping, and just, you know, I went to the bathroom the other day when we were doing takeout, and I came back and there was an anonymous $100 bill just sitting on the table.
Oh, that's
no
sweet.
Idea who came in and left that. But that's the kind of stuff. And that didn't really happen so much it did on Capitol Hill, but not to the extent that people care for each other out here.
Well, we need our small businesses to actually have a good time out here. You know, I mean,
yeah,
that's the key. We need folks like you and like Scott, who we're going to talk to after the 2 p.m. hour, to actually give of your sweat and blood and infinite time to let us have a good time in public. You know, but one of those things, though, with a bar, it's like the concept of a bar to me is people hugging each other. They don't know each mm-hmm. other. They're spitting all mm-hmm. over each other's faces. And now that we've all seen that Japanese saliva video, which is not the kind of video yeah. you're thinking of. I'm thinking of the green video, where, you know, where they illuminate it. The video where they basically like show that even by like, you know, smiling at somebody, we are actually sending mm-hmm. them COVID.
Well, yeah, that video was disturbing. It's going to come back. It's just the new reality we're going to have to live with. And, you know, what you were just describing about bars, people getting close, blah, blah, blah. It's not even the 50% that's killing us right now. It's that we are very much a bar and not a restaurant, and we're not allowed to have any bar seating.
You do have food, though, right?
We do have food. We have really good food. But it's, I guess you would say, a 21 and over restaurant.
Got it.
With a bar.
Got it.
And,
okay.
You know, the whole, a lot of the reason people go to the bar is to sit at the bar and talk to their coworkers after a hard day of work, or, you know, approach that cute coffee stand girl they've never had the guts to talk to before, but all of a sudden they have some whiskey now and they do.
Whoa.
And that entire dynamic is gone when you can't sit at a bar with people, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Like meeting people you don't know and having weird conversations with them. I mean, now yeah. we're a little bit taught, and you know, it wisely so, maybe to avoid these places and to keep to ourselves. And I wonder how that reality is going to look, you know, going forward in a bar. Like, is there going to be a point where you have to like step in to customers and say, hey, you guys are too close, you're having too much fun, and you're actually saying it in a serious way, not like the joking way that people say, oh, you're having too much fun, but you're actually be like, yeah, you're too, that's too much fun, you're too close, get yeah. out. I mean, and I guess that leads me to the question of enforcement. Like, who's supposed to enforce all this, all these, I mean, first of all, what are some of the rules and who's supposed to enforce them? I guess that's kind of my, what I'm interested in hearing from you.
Well, there's just, you know, it's a nice idea that they're trying to come up with these rules that seem enforceable, but they absolutely aren't. Like, not supposed to have more than five people at a table, and I don't think they're supposed to come from more than two different households. Yeah, I mean, how am I supposed to know? I'm not going to get everyone's addresses and verify and then, okay, you can sit next to each other, guys, your neighbors. Like,
well, at one point, the state wanted you to do that. At one point, the state said,
yes,
they walked this back, but they said, we need, if anybody uses your business, we're going to need their name, address, and Facebook account, something like that.
Yeah, and I myself appreciate the job Inslee's done with this, but that was a little too much, I think.
Well, the problem is that small business owners have enough to worry about. And that, you know, we kind of it would be nice, I think, my opinion is it's, you know, government should help protect small business in these cases and help be the ones to kind of lead the way on these things. But the reality is, too, that we've defunded our government so successfully on so many different levels that we've defunded the wrong programs, let's say. Let's make that clear. And funded the wrong programs and defunded the wrong programs, that it's really hard. I assume they just are really lacking in the ability to offer sort of comprehensive protection. I don't know if you found that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's infuriating to see how little help they've given small businesses. And then we have a flyover from two growlers. I know how much that costs, like $1 million an hour to fly those things sometimes. And that's the kind of money we could use, you know?
Yeah.
We don't need these giant military parades. We don't need it. It's not going to help small business at all.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be the new reality that I guess you're just going to have to live with. But at least you're somewhat hopeful after last night, it sounds like.
Yeah, no. I am. And just once again, a testament to the people of this little town. They came out in droves. They were fantastic. And I know they'll support us as much as they possibly can. And thank you, Port Townsend. Thank you for that.
Well, we've been talking to Jim Frederick from the Tunnel Tavern. He brought us some music and some wisdom on the Tunnel Tavern, which is down by where El Serape used to be. And is now, what are your new hours, Jim? Give us to those before I kick you out of here.
Yeah. At the moment, very limited. We are Thursday, Friday from 6 to midnight, Saturday, Sunday, noon to midnight, and closed Monday to Wednesday. But, you know, all up in the air for now. We can change as soon as we get some more revenue coming in.
Got it. Well, thank you for being with us here today. And, I wish you the best of luck, and hopefully we'll talk to you again soon in the coming months about how things have been going with all the new rules and worlds you have to live in.
Yes. All right. Thank you very much.
Take care, Jim.